Welcome to Money Making Conversations. It's the show that shares the secrets of success experienced firsthand by marketing and branding expert Rashawn McDonald. I will know. He's given me advice on many occasions, and in case you didn't notice, I'm not broke. You know he'll be interviewing celebrity CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. It's what he likes to do. It's what he likes to share. Now it's time to hear from my man, Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations. Here we go.
Welcome to Money Making Conversation. I'm your host, Rashawn McDonald. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories. You hear me tell everyone, every week. That's my opening mantra. And I also tell you to start writing your own stories because it's your story. Nobody else can write it. A lot of people dream other people's opportunities. They see other athletes. They see other actors. They see other entrepreneurs. That's their story. In order for you to be successful, you have to write your own story. And I always tell you to lead with your gifts. Gifts can be your passion. And don't let your age, friends, family, or coworkers stop you from planning or living your dreams. The interviews I do on Money Making Conversations involve celebrities, CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. My next guest is what I like to call an industry decision maker. She changes the game. Her name is Dr. Dawn Brown. Dr. Dawn Brown is a double board certified child, adolescent, adult, and sports psychiatrist. That's a lot. Let me say that one more time. Dr. Brown is a double board certified child, adolescent, adult, and sports psychiatrist. The reason I bring that up is because my daughter, she was a tennis prodigy at 16, and I know that we had to use a person to like this services because when you get into sports, you question yourself a lot, and then you can be, you know, an injury you can come into play. So it's a lot of things, physical and mental aspects of that athleticism, and also in everyday life that comes into play. She's also a pioneer of the mental health movement and a nationally recognized two-time number one best-selling author, Forbes writer, ADHD coach, mental health expert, and public speaker. We're going to discuss with Dr. Brown why she chose psychiatry as her specialty, how to prioritize your health, and the stigma regarding mental health. That's a big one right there. Plus, Dr. Brown's secrets to being a successful serial entrepreneur. You know this is Money Making Conversation. You know I had to bring that up. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation. She's living in Houston, straight out of Flint, Michigan, Dr. Dawn Brown. How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Mr. Rashawn, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Well, first of all, you look fantastic. Got money green on. You got money green on.
Okay, correct.
Now, I said it a little bit earlier. Flint, Michigan, we know what's going on up there. Now, this is not a story about trying to find out what's going on with the drinking water, but it is a part of your past and part of your life because I'm sure you have relatives still up there. Now you're in Houston, Texas, and we just came off that freeze storm that basically shut down the state of Texas and saw how they were unprepared, and what we call a state that's supposed to have their act together. That's the state of Texas. And we're still dealing with the consequences of that freeze that really caused the loss of a lot of lives. And that's important. So when you're dealing with that, that's all. The reason I bring this up is that those situations cause mental stress. The Flint, Michigan situation where people are drinking water, they have to worry if that water's going to cause a deformity in a childbirthing situation, or will cut short their life? Will their children grow up? Will they affect their brain or their growth patterns? That's Flint, Michigan. Then you deal with the freeze situation that happened in Texas, and people are still trying to recover from the mental, effect of trust. Will it happen again? Will I be prepared to happen with that? Talk about the whole mental makeup of people in general when stress comes into their life.
It's a very interesting question you bring up. And even to mention Hurricane Harvey in there as well, right? In the comparisons. You know, trauma can be a blessing and a curse. It's actually a silver lining in trauma. And how I say that is because it's obvious the curse, right? The traumatic experience that people can experience with how traumatizing the situation, the condition, experience could be for someone, how that affects their mentality, how that affects their emotional health, even their physical health. And then just like you're saying, their trust factor, you know, what's going to happen next? Is the bottom going to drop out again? I cannot be happy because I know something bad is going to happen.
Right.
But then it's the blessing. Many people have, you know, been motivated by trauma, you know, the determination, the diligence, the drive, the resilience of trauma, right? And so wanting to motivate yourself out of a situation, find the tools and the keys necessary to do so, and never stop giving up. So but then the baggage is still there. And if you don't address it, you don't deal with it, it can actually affect your mental health, right, particularly, and leave a lot of scars.
Well, let's talk about the mental health from a standpoint of just day-to-day living. Let's talk about the minority community, and where we all know the minority community shuns from showing weaknesses. And some people feel that if you admit that you have a mental illness, then you are weak, that you are showing a flaw that can have people measure you based on your credibility, your sustainability as far as what you can do with your life. Now, let's backtrack a little bit about the minority community in Houston, Texas. I'm just using Houston, Texas as an example, because I forgot about Hurricane Harvey in 2017. Hurricane Harvey happened in 2020, devastated the city of Houston. That's minorities. Who would affect it the most? Minorities. Then you move forward into 2020, and COVID hit. On top of COVID, devastated the minority community, okay? Then the George Floyd situation came out. Rioting, social and civil unrest. Still on top of that, you were dealing with COVID-19. How do you deal with that? No vaccination. Then we move into Texas. Then we did still on top of that, no vaccination yet, the big Texas freeze hit. Who did it affect the most? Minorities. Okay, now we're coming out. We have a vaccination set up where we can get vaccinated. And minorities are one of the slowest group to want to get vaccinated. So that's what the trust comes in, but there's also the stress. Because now jobs are saying, if you don't get vaccinated, you may not have a job here anymore. Dr. Brown, the floor is yours now.
Ooh-wee. You know, it's so much to unpack there, right? Because historically, mental health, physical health, just medical in general, medical health has not done people of color due diligence, mm-hmm. has not been justified, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an actual industry that has actually been targeted towards people of color, haven't been there, mistreated, not treated, not diagnosed properly. I mean, I can go on and on. And when you talk about mental health, all of those factors play a role. Then it's few of us, the lack of access, the lack of education coming from people like me that look like people who want to hear information, who want help, but just don't know who to trust, where to go to, if they have the financial need or the financial reasons of being able to go. I mean, it's just so much, right? And so what we try to do is we try to just start it one step at a time. When you have insult after insult that you're saying, Rashawn, from, you know, things outside of our control, such as weather patterns and, you know, the traumatic effects of Harvey in Houston, and then, like you're saying, the power outage, the water outage here in Houston, and then you're talking about COVID-19, and you're talking about people like look like me that are, you know, brutalized and murdered in the street, protests going on. I mean, it's insult after insult. So what happens to our emotional health?
Yes.
It's traumatized, mm-hmm. and it's scarred. And if we don't do something about that, then it could be actually jeopardizing and very dangerous, because those scars don't heal. They don't heal at all unless you address them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a physical wound and you can actually see how the wound heals, how the skin, right, which is the largest organ in our system, can actually do miraculous things in just covering up that scar. You may have something to remind you of that scar, mm-hmm. but it's not a wound that's open, it's cut, that's not, you know, vicious. But when you're talking about emotional health, it's something completely different. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the scars actually can become generational. It can actually be triggering. It actually can come up in different situations where you're not even thinking about it subconsciously. Mm-hmm. So yes, emotional health is just as equally as important as physical health. And in our community, people of color, we definitely have to talk about it.
Well, let's talk about that, because I really like that analogy of the open scar, a wound that doesn't heal. Because let's talk about that for a minute. Because that's what happens from the mental aspect. We can't see it, so it cannot be acknowledged as a problem to the everyday viewer or the everyday eye. If I came into the house and my daughter came into the house and her knee was scarred, we go, what's wrong? Let's fix that. We put some salve on it, some alcohol. She'll scream, my daddy, no. Then put a bandage on. Then all of a sudden we'll watch it, make sure it doesn't get infected. And then when it's repaired fully, then we're comfortable again. Now, from a mental aspect, we don't see that. So if we did come in here and we saw a wound on the side of your head and that signified that you were having mental stress, then we will know what to do. And guess what we will do, Dr. Brown? We will want to fix that problem. But when it's mental, then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of terms, he crazy, he don't have good sense. A lot of terms that I've heard in my neighborhood where, you know, that's don't go next to him. That's a crazy dude on the corner. You know, walk fast past him. Because it was always deemed that somebody who was not, who was mentally stressed, was a person that you should stay away from right. in the minority community. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're exactly 100% right. I mean, a Band-Aid is to cover up a wound, just like a smile is to cover up depression, right? Mm-hmm. But again, there's a historical analogy here. We were taught not to show emotions, mm-hmm. right? Think about slavery. Mm-hmm. If you showed a bigger emotion, then you were actually beaten, bruised, victimized, shunned, all of those things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. we had to be strong in order to survive that time period, in order to make it to another day, in order to be okay. But again, historically, we were taught to do that. And that's become generational, part of the generational right. curse, if you will, mm-hmm. that nowadays we still, many of us don't show that emotion, right? Mm-hmm. And it's taught that if this is a sign of weakness, just like as a slave.
Right.
It's a sign of weakness. You're not good enough. You're not built well enough, all of these type of things. But I often tell my people of color, hey, you don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
That was back then. This is now. Mm-hmm. You have me to here to support you, your family that loves you. Here are the other support systems. And it's okay. It's okay not to have to smile all the time.
Right.
It's okay to cry. It's God's tears letting you say, hey, I need an emotional release because I'm human. And back then, we weren't considered human.
Mm-hmm.
We were considered animals. We were considered victims. We were considered all these things that we couldn't actually express ourselves. And part of that mentality is still, again, a part of today's society, especially people of color. But again, even if we encourage for people like me to encourage our people, yet instill in different environments, atmosphere, work, whatever social circles, that mentality still exists.
Right. Well, you know, it's really interesting just hearing you talk is that, you know, I hear the words cancel culture, which I can't stand. I hear words about, you know, why do we have to worry about transgender? Why do you have to worry about the issue? Why are all these people coming out of the closet? Why? Because they have been afraid. They have been afraid to live a life. So now we're at their mental health. We are afraid. And we're trying to erode or remove the barriers of fear. It's all right to say you are depressed. It's all right to say that you don't feel good and that you're stressing and that you've reached your moment. You need time for yourself. It's all right to take vacation away from your world. And so I say that because when I'm talking to you, Dr. Brown, I take this stuff very personal because of the fact that people can criticize and people don't know the power of criticism. It really can stop a lot of people from seeking help. And am I correct in what I'm saying that?
Yes, you are. It is. Because not only do you have to consider the criticism that comes externally, but how internally as well, right?
Absolutely.
We often self-criticize ourselves.
And, you know, and that's important. So because I you know, like I said, we have a lot to talk about, but I want to just talk about that little portion, but I want to talk about the mental health athletic centers that you have and the services that they offer. And why was it important to, you know, put the word athletic and health together? And maybe they understand it's all has always been one. You know, I don't care if you Venus Williams or if you Tom Brady. There is a psychology. There is a mental ability. It's been known that the reason Serena Williams has not won the Grand Slam record because she stresses out too much in the finals. And you said, Serena Williams? Yes, yes. Stress and mental breakdowns have cost her from achieving her dream of winning all the last few Grand Slams that she's been in. And so even at that high level, how do you come in with these clinics that you've created that combine health and athletics?
That reason right there, you mentioned the mission. You know, I want athletes to understand that they're human, just who happen to have athletic abilities. So we recognize them as human first. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when they were younger, you know, they were identified as athletes. So many of them don't even understand who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to find their identity through it all, through their journey. And oftentimes that comes too late during retirement. And that's where we see a lot of mental health conditions as well that may come up. But when you talk about an active athlete who is injured, who actually is trying to top last year's numbers, right, who is going for the three-peat, mm-hmm, I mean, all of these pressures, mental conditioning cannot deal with. I mean, they have mental health issues just like us. Actually, as a matter of fact, more of them have mental health issues than the general population. So I thought it was critical to, so they can understand that, hey, I see you, you're human first. As a recognized psychiatrist, I'm here to assist you. All of you may not need medicine. Mm-hmm. All of you may just need a listening ear. How about just wanting to hear what you want in life, right? Mm-hmm. Wanting to understand what happened to last night's game that an interview didn't address.
Right.
They're all criticizing you before you're able to even, you know, process what's happened. So, you know, it could be as little as that or as big as an issue as having a family history of trauma, mm-hmm, that got them out the neighborhood to go pro. That was, mm-hmm, a part of their journey. Right. So I wanted something that it can be all inclusive, that athletes can take advantage of in working with someone like me. And that is trust, you know, that they can trust.
Let me ask you, so you're there for them. So why did you, I hear what, you know, just the journey we're talking about now, but early when we came out of high school, we started going into college. What led you to this field? What led you to this range of study? Why?
It came to me, Rashawn. I actually recently had graduated from my child fellowship program at Baylor, and I was in private practice for about two and a half years. And a Houston Rocket player came to see me in my private practice, mm-hmm, and he and his wife came, and he was experiencing anxiety. He didn't, mm-hmm, know what the terminology was at the time, mm-hmm, but he actually said, I'm short of air. Like, I'm short of breath. I can't breathe. And these are the conditions that lead to me not being able to breathe. And so he was describing some of these instances, mm-hmm, and we actually came up with the terminology that identified him having panic attacks, mm-hmm, underneath the umbrella of having an anxiety disorder. And so that's how it started. And, you know, the circles are so small, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, nowadays you have different professional associations that are gung-ho for mental health, mental awareness. And I'm loving these initiatives that are now out. But back then, even just 6 years ago,
right,
it was difficult for him to come to me. He came with his wife. He experienced this for 4 or 5 years. It affected his game. Mm-hmm. It affected his game to the point he's not even playing anymore. He could very well be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And so, yes, that's how it started.
You know, the thing about it, first of all, when we talk about mental health, and because people always say, Rushan, how do you juggle so much? Because there's levels of stress, you know, and I also know how to walk away. You know, like I watch TV, you know, you ask me on Netflix, I watch Netflix, you know, I watch Disney, you know, I watch sports. So what I'm telling everybody is that what helps you is what walks you away from the stress. And I remember when I bought the house in Atlanta, and I told my wife, I said, I got to be near water. She said, why? I said, because I need to be able to walk out there and just see something simple. And I remember we was, I'm just telling everybody in general, just listen to how I deal with stress. And because there are little tricks to it, and there are tricks that you can do yourself. But what I try to do myself is that I try to make sure that every day looks different. In other words, we was in a high rise, Dr. Brown, and I started noticing that the treetops looked the same every day. And I told my wife, we can't stay here. She said, well, I said, it looks the same. I said, I got to have something that triggers my mind to be creative, into another journey. And so she said, oh, okay. She said, that's still prison. No, it looks the same every day. Same. I can tell you the trees. I can tell you these trees. I start counting them, okay? And so what happens, I think, in a lot of things, and I'm talking to a professional, and I'm talking to you, is that how I deal with that and being able to deal with stress, deal with the anxiety, deal with depression, I try to take myself in something normal. And that's, when I say normal, go to the park, you know, go fishing, do normal things that are breaking the cycle, create a different conversation. And when people stress, they're stressing because they're not breaking the norm. This is just Rashawn McDonald's way of thinking about it. I just want to know, have I been on the right path all these years? Can you help me out, Doc?
Yes, you have. Listen, can you help me out? Because you are right on point with this. Seriously, very insightful of you to even bring that up, because it's about taking a break from. Yes. That has been my complete message to people. Mm-hmm. You got to take breaks, and they have to take a lot of them. Similar to you, Rashawn, I actually relocated to another part of Houston mm-hmm. because my primary goal was to have a view of the city.
Right.
I'm from Flint, Michigan. Mm-hmm. I wanted a view of the city because that's what helps, you know, just really bring me back to reality.
Right.
When I'm hearing different stories, traumatic stories, situations, people's anxieties, depression, it's easy for me to take that on. Mm-hmm. So I even have to take a break, and having a view was very important. And so that helped determine where I am. And that has been a lifesaver for me. But you have to find something that's allowing you to break away mm-hmm. from routine, from stress. Mm-hmm. Vacations are important. Mm-hmm. You got to schedule them like you schedule meetings, right?
Yes,
in the mirror.
Yes, you do.
even your daily breaks. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised, Rashawn, how many people don't even break during the day.
No. Right? You know, and that's why it was important when I scheduled this interview, because of the fact that when you're starting a business, stress. When you're starting a relationship, stress. When you're having children, stress. When you're doing a job, you know, that's why I had to mention about, especially in the Houston market, we can go to different parts of the country. You can do the stress that came in the state of Georgia when President Trump and was down here saying that the voting was illegal, that they were cheating. You had the Republican stress, you had the Democrat stress. And then you had the Black Lives Matter movement running around. They were being called thugs, being called a terrorist group, that level of stress. Your profession, I would have to believe, is under stress too. Because so many people are coming to you for so many new answers, Dr. Brown.
Yeah, we're in a pandemic as well. Mm-hmm. Mental health is in its own pandemic. Mm-hmm. The good thing about it, however, Rashawn, is that people are coming to get help.
Thank you.
Technology has been a huge key mm-hmm. In creating that access for mm-hmm. many people who formerly didn't have access, mm-hmm. who didn't want to come to a place to get help. Mm-hmm. The screen, the stigma is a part of that destigmatizing experience mm-hmm. from people where they're in the comfort of their homes mm-hmm. talking about something that's triggering, and they're able to communicate that through a screen has been helpful. Insurance companies have gotten on board to provide coverage for telepsychiatry so that people can get help. EAPs are on board to be able to allow therapy sessions for their employees who have been at home over a year and a half. So people are understanding this mental health movement now. They understand how important mental health is. And it is amazing to see that. But we're still in a pandemic. And we're going to be in this for quite some time. So, you know, yes, stress is everywhere. It's a part of our normalcy, our
right.
normal day life.
Right.
But we have to understand that, hey, there is help out there in order for you to help manage that while you're dealing with it as well.
Well, you know, the help is, first of all, has to be acknowledged by you. You know, I you know, like I said, I've acknowledged the fact that I need to see things, movements and things like that that relax. That's my triggers. And that's a popular word you hear, especially when we talk about mental health. What are your triggers? What are the bad triggers and what are the good triggers? The good triggers for me is that I gotta see change all the time. And I'm not talking about I gotta hear loud music, I gotta go to a party, I gotta drink, I gotta be the life of that, and I'm stepping out of my own being to, no, I'm talking about I go down to my little lake, I sit down and I watch the fish. And it relaxes me. And then it takes me down a little bit where I can't see any streets. I can see part of my house. So I'm almost in my little world. And it's kind of like that been that way for me, you know, my whole life, though, Dr. Brown. I've unconsciously figured out positive triggers for me. You know, in New York, a lot of people, I can't stand those crowds. I love the crowds. But then you come to my place, is spacious, you know. I don't carry that crowded environment of the streets into my home environment. I got these walls too close, okay? So it's really about some of the decisions. But the bigger thing of our takeaway in this conversation and why you're so important is that there's so many people who have not found the positive triggers. And that's why you are so important. Talk to us about that.
Amen. Amen. I have an ADHD mind. Mm-hmm. I have ADHD and the MD with ADHD, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so like you, I love the noise, the action, the stimuli, mm-hmm. Because it allows me to be moving with it, mm-hmm. right? I'm motivated by it. I'm driven. I'm productive. Mm-hmm. But then there are times when it's just too much for me and it's overstimulating. Mm-hmm. So I have to travel. So my positive trigger is international travel. And the reason I say international, because it gets me out of my comfort zone. Yes. I go alone. I want to learn about different cultures mm-hmm. that I don't know anything about, meet new people. So it's a lot of newness that allows me to be in a very calming, right, type of mood and zone. Positive triggers are so important. I'm glad you brought that up because oftentimes when we talk about triggers, the automatic thought process about that is it's negative.
Right.
But no, there are positive triggers and we need positive triggers to balance out our ability to manage stress. We need positive triggers to understand when to know when it's time to take that break, when it's time to take that vacation, right? When it's time to go to bed at night, stop, right. you know, being up at 2 o'clock in the morning because right. you always going to have work to do.
Well, I want to say something. I want to say something to you, Dr. Brown, because I'm kind of not annoyed at you, but annoyed in the system. You know, yeah. like because you know May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not just one month, everybody. Okay, and what that gives you a false sense that we're gonna recognize it this month, and the problem goes away. It's every day, every hour, how you deal with it, how you relate to it. And I brought Dr. Brown on the show, you know, to let you know that she's here for you. She's here to give you a sense of awareness, a sense of hope. Ear, and when that ear is listening to you, she's going to give you answers. And if you don't have the answers, then she's willing to walk you through the steps to get to that answer. When you come to a person like Dr. Brown, her centers and what she's trying to do is she's trying to let you know that it's time to acknowledge there is something wrong. See, that's the key, right, Dr. Brown?
That's the key. And, you know, mental health doesn't necessarily just mean I'm having suicidal thoughts or I'm hearing voices mm-hmm. or, you know, the kind of the extreme of it. It could be that I'm fatigued. I'm tired. I'm mm-hmm. losing my hair. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Nothing is, you know, I'm having thoughts that I'm not necessarily worthy. Like mental health shows up for different people at different levels of severity.
Right.
And I love people just to, you know, just like they get physical evaluations or physical checkups, mm-hmm. annual checkups. Mm-hmm. I would love if people can go to a mental health professional and get an annual mental health checkup. Mm-hmm. Wow, how better they would be, how better this world would be. It just will normalize. We gotta normalize mental health because it's important. We all experience mental health. Like you said at the beginning of our conversation, we all have mental health issues and wellnesses. And so it's important for us to take care of it, regardless of what level it is.
The thing about it, when you talk about fatigue, I remember one day my wife, I'd get up and I'd just drive myself to the airport. One day she said, I'll drive you. That's a bit, you know, I got to get up early. And we were driving. She was driving me. She was looking at me in the passenger seat. She said, wow, when are you tired? When are you tired? I said, I'm tired right now. I said, but what I've learned, I've created triggers to be able to mask that, okay? And I say that's not a good thing, too, to mask fatigue. And so when you're doing things, mask is a dangerous term in mental and physical awareness because you can mask fatigue and it can lead to other issues. That's why you have to know your body. In this case, you have to know your mind. And I'm not saying I'm a specialist. I'm just bringing you on the show. You are the specialist. And believe me, you got to come back on my show. I could be talking to you for another hour because you and I, we're connecting, but I think you understand how I think. And I have a lot of natural awareness, but you have the technical awareness because I can't teach anybody what I know. It's something I've designed for myself. But you can teach individuals and get them to walk the path of lightness, you know, come out of the light. And because mental health is darkness. If you live in mental health, that light is not on in that room. It's not on. Right. And you can help them. So tell us a little bit about the website so we can get that out there so we can just start. You know, you my one. You Texas, the heights. Let's walk us out of here.
Rashawn, you know, that's why I really appreciate and respect your platform. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
And I love your openness with others. I love your realness and you sharing your personal experiences so people can connect with you. Mm-hmm. That's why we connect so well, because you're a realist. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an expert to understand how this works. Mm-hmm. You are realness. And so I appreciate that about you. So thank you for having me. You can find me at Dr. Dawn Psych MD. Mm-hmm. That's probably my main hub, Dr. Mm-hmm. Dawn Psych MD. That's DrDawnP as in Paul, SYCHMD on all social media platforms. Please connect with me. I would love to connect with you and see how I can be of service to you.
Well, you're in service to everybody who's listening and watching the show down in the Atlanta area on my TV show that airs on AIB TV. Got over 2 million homes, my social media, but more important, you're a brand that makes a difference in everybody's life. That's why I created Money Making Conversation. Dr. Dawn Brown, thank you for coming on. And, you know, when I come to Houston, you know, we got to go somewhere and do a foodie moment, because I'm a foodie. Okay, I'm just let you
I'm
know.
I'm ready.
Okay, that's all you have to say. You're ready. I'm ready, okay? We be good. Thank you for coming on Money Making Conversations, okay?
Thank you for having me, Rashawn. Appreciate it.
If you want to hear us see any of my interviews on Money Making Conversations, please go to moneymakingconversation.com. I'm Rashawn McDonald. I am your host.